So today our message is on the church and missions. And no, that wasn't planned in advance because of the question we had to ask and answer during our announcements. It's just one of God's miracles that our message, after having a question on missions, happens to be on missions. Now I'll start with the questionnaire that was in the Swindle's Ultimate Book of Illustrations and Quotes. It says, a church gave its members a self-evaluation questionnaire to see how concerned they were about missions. Compare for yourself where you might be. Consider these examples of the high and low criteria. When it comes to a biblical understanding of missions, I can explain how every book of the Bible relates to world evangelism, or is your statement more, I do not even own a Bible? When it comes to missions education, would you say, I assist others in understanding what God is doing in missions? Or is it the other spectrum? I conscientiously avoid any missions emphasis or any missions information. When it comes to prayer, you're closer to the statement, I regularly fast and pray for specific requests from missionaries. Or is it, I do not believe in prayer? When it comes to encouraging missionaries, is it, I visit them at their assignments? Or is it, I don't do anything with missionaries? When it comes to giving, is it the statement, I encourage others and sacrifice myself to give to missions? Or is it, I take money from missionaries? When it comes to missionary recruitment, is it, I actively educate others to the need for more missionaries around the world? Or is it, I feel they should stay home and actually earn a living for themselves? And I know in each one of those, it's a very extreme spectrum from all in or to completely out. But we need to ask ourselves, where do we fall in this spectrum? Which end are we closer to? We need to be honest with ourselves. As we continue our journey in Acts, today it's going to speak specifically about the church and missions. Starting in Acts 12, verse 25. It helps if you don't get your two tabs confused. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. In those first two verses there, where it seems like all they're doing is naming a few people, it brings one thing to attention. What it's telling us is, here at this church, it wasn't just a single culture. You had multiple cultures, multiple people coming together, people of various backgrounds, all working together in this church. It's telling us about how they were sent off. It's telling us how all these cultures came together to send off their missionaries in this church, how they were all involved in it. Not just a single group, not just a single person, not just a single committee, but everybody. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So So right there is something very important. Generally, when we start thinking about missionaries and the church's involvement, it always comes down to, wow, how much are we going to support them? How much are we financially able to support them? And while that is an important decision, here's the more important one. Are we actually praying for them? Are we earnestly praying for them? When it says they were fasting and praying before that missionary went out, let's take into account what fasting actually means. It means they were setting aside time that was normally devoted for one thing, specifically to pray for these missionaries that are about to go into the field. What do we do today for our missionaries? Something that sounds so simple. Time. It's all going to cost you a little bit of time on what they're talking about here. Are we willing to take time out of our day, time out of our lives, to pray for the missionaries? When we're studying the Bible, and we hit a passage that deals with missionaries, does that register to us that, hey, if God's reminding me right here, right now, about missionaries, should I be taking this little bit of time I have and maybe expanding a little bit and praying for those missionaries in the field? Maybe they need a little more prayer. I have no idea what struggles they're going through by now. It's probably a more important struggle than whether or not I get to the TV before my show starts. Are we willing to take a little bit of time and earnestly pray for our missionaries? Earnestly devote ourselves to say, we will set aside time and pray for you because you're the one in the field. You're the one struggling. Or is it when it comes to the missionaries, we take that little bit of money off our wallet, we put it in the offering plate, now our conscience is clear. We don't want to think about them every day. We don't want to think about the struggles they're going through. We don't want to think about that truck in the middle of a rainstorm, trying to get out of the mud, trying to figure out if they can even follow that road, not even knowing if that puddle in front of them is deeper than the roof of their truck. Waking up every morning, having to look, is there any spiders in my bed? How about a scorpion? And that could crawl in depending on where they're at in the world. We have no idea what they're truly facing. And then the challenge that they're presented with, to spread the word of God. I know they appreciate the money. I know they need the money. But I can guarantee you something they need even more, or in addition to, is prayer. I guarantee you it's a soothing thought to know that they have so much support that people are willing to take a little bit of time out of their day to pray for them. Especially when these missionaries have given up everything that they had. They've left their family behind, all the comforts they knew. To answer a call that God brought to them, that God placed on their heart. To step out onto a journey where they have no idea where it's going to end up. They have no idea what 3 steps from now is going to hold for them. All they know is that's where God wants them to be, and that's where they want to be because of it. In these first few verses, it goes straight into prayer for them. After fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They prayed for them. They wanted to do the very best thing they could do, which is to let them know that they cared for them. And that they'd be praying to the Almighty Father for support of them. So Barnabas and Saul were sent off. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island, as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul. Proconsul being the person who's in charge. Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence who had summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So now these men who are on that missionary journey to spread God's word have traversed an entire island, spreading that word everywhere they could. And now they find out they're being invited to someone who's actually an authority there. Someone that they know is an intelligent man who's seeking more knowledge. They're not just talking to the townspeople. They're going to go before somebody who now has the authority to say, get out of here. The authority to just say, that's it. Your journey in life is over, not just your missionary journey. What do you think was giving them extra strength? They knew God was with them. They knew God would be leading them through everything. But do you think it helped to know that the church that sent them off was praying for them? That that church cared about them so much that they took time to fast and pray for them? Not just a quick and keep track of our missionaries, give them the strength they need, give them the supplies they need. Amen. That's why it puts the word fasting there. It went beyond that. It wasn't a quick check-off list. It was a, God, I know they're facing struggles that I can't even begin to imagine. I have no idea what they're going through. Remember, at this time, there was no internet. There were no phone lines. They couldn't pick up the phone and go, hey, what do you need? They were on their own in these areas. If they wanted to get a message there, somebody would have actually had to go and sail to get them the message. Prayer was a lot more important then, because prayer was the only connection that people had. Our ability to connect with each other is great today, but sometimes I feel like it's kind of taken away the miracle that prayer is. I mean, think about it for a moment. When prayer first came out, you had the ability to talk to the Creator of all from anywhere at any time. Instantly. It's truly amazing, right? Not when now you pull out a little box that you keep in your pocket at all time that connects you to everyone everywhere, and you don't even have to talk to them right at that moment because you can just pull up their Facebook page and suddenly you know everything going on in their lives. When it used to be God knew everything going on in everybody's lives, and I got this little box. Think about what prayer really is. It's a connection to God Almighty, the person who created the very ground we're standing on, who knows how many hairs are on each of our heads, that honestly knows what's going on in everybody's life, not just what the little box with the bright screen tells us. That we start to panic if we go into a mall that has a dead zone. Well, now I'm not connected to anybody. Yes, you are. You're connected to God still. prayer is very important, and it's very important to our missionaries. They need that support. Because we don't know. Maybe they're going before the proconsul in their area. Someone who truly has the power in that area to make a difference. More than just the people. More than going door by door. Think about everybody they went door by door for. If this person here goes, yeah, this is the way, is it going to make a bigger impact on everybody they already talked to? You better believe it. Verse 8. Balamus the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So they had this other person there that was at the same time. A person trying to spread this seed everywhere. Everywhere our missionaries journey, they're facing the same thing. There's going to be someone there opposing them. Someone there they're struggling against. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. This man who through deceit had people who were listening to him, listening to his every word, suddenly can't even see to walk in front of him, see what's in front of him, what that next step just holds. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Yes, this is a grand miracle here. Now our missionaries in the field can't turn to somebody and go, "That's it, you're a liar and now you're blind," and suddenly everybody believes them. It's a little harder today. But does that verse there still apply to us today? Absolutely. Yeah, those were very harsh words. And what type of mission were they on? An evangelistic mission. A mission to spread the good news. And they turn around and they speak harshly. That applies today more than ever. How many people out there are doing nothing but spreading deceit? And we go, "Wow, we want to show the love and kindness of God. So we don't want to say anything that's going to offend them. God's all love. God's all mercy. I want to show the mercy." Well, yeah. But right in this very passage, his missionaries who are out there are led to make a stand, to speak very harshly, and say, "Quit leading everybody astray." Does it kind of sound familiar? Did Jesus not give a message where he told everybody, "Don't lead my children astray, or you're going to suffer the consequences"? What these missionaries said right here is a mirroring of what Jesus said. even when Jesus was letting everybody know what's going on, when he was reaching out to the poor, when he was spreading the good news, when he was spreading the word of truth, he took a stand against those who were being deceitful and leading people astray. We're commanded to spread the good news of God today. And it's not just the missionaries who are going everywhere around the world. Those aren't the only missionaries in the world today. Every single one of us, every single believer in this nation and around the world is a missionary to a group of people. In fact, today, there's probably more different groups of people in the world than there's ever been because they're so connected to find out, oh, this group of people believes everything I do. Well, this one doesn't believe that, but this group over here, well, no, I agree with them. So people are so connected, they can always find someone who's going to agree with them. More missionaries are needed today than ever before. There's more deceitful beliefs out there than ever before. And there's more magicians out there who want to lead everybody astray. More deceit and evil. So guess what? Every single believer today is a missionary to a group of people. As soon as you leave this building, guess what? You're now entering the mission field. When you're in this building today, yeah, it's a fellowship with other believers. But it's not the same thing once we leave the gates of that parking lot. As soon as you leave those gates, guess what? You've been sent out by the church. You're a missionary. You've been sent out by God. You're a missionary. No, he might have not called you to go to Africa. No, he might have not called you to go to the Philippines. No, he might have not called you to go to China or any other country. Maybe he called you to be a missionary in your very neighborhood. Maybe he called you to be a missionary with your friends. Maybe he called you to be a missionary at the place you work. Maybe he called you to be a missionary in all of them. You have a group of people in your lives. What word are you spreading to them? Whose path are you letting them follow? When you're in those groups, whose path are you following? Yeah, it's great when we can sit there and discuss it together with other believers. And we're all on the same page, and we're all in agreement, and you just feel that love, you just feel that joy. Same thing you feel when you have a bunch of believers together singing songs of glory and praise to God. It's very uplifting. But eventually, you're in an area where you're the missionary. Everybody around you might not be believing the same belief you have. And there's going to be evil. And there's going to be somebody that's trying to lead them to that evil. God put you there in that moment as a missionary. Are you willing to speak out and go, no, this is wrong? And guess what? Occasionally, you're the mentor to another missionary. You can't turn on the news and just say, well, people just don't know what they're doing anymore. I never did that when I was that age. You can be missionaries to other believers in a way because you're to be their mentors. You're to help guide them. Because at no point in any generation was there not a deceiver involved. Was there not somebody that you didn't have to stand up to and say, what you're doing is wrong. this is the right path, this is the right way. But when we sit back and we're going to go, oh, God's not judgment. Yes, He is. First thing you have to know to start venturing down the road of salvation is that all have fallen short. All are sinners. I'm sorry, you can't say that God doesn't judge, because if the very first thing you have to know to journey to salvation is that God judges everybody and they all came up short, then yeah, He's drawn the hard line. It's not a line in sand. It's not even a line in concrete. He basically took diamonds, the hardest thing that you can find. He drew the line in that and said, guess what? You're either on this side of the line or you're not. And everybody, you start off on that side of the line and you have to want to come this way. That's what we need to do in our lives. We need to look around and realize which side of the line we stand on when we make our decisions, when we're around people, when we're in groups with people. Every decision we make. Whether or not we're willing to answer that call and be the missionary in the mission field that God has already put you in. It doesn't take a new declaration and a decision to close your home, to say, I'm going around the world. It takes a decision to say, He put me right here, right now, to spread His word. And if we're all missionaries, then it's going to mean one thing. We should be taking that time every single day to pray for each of the fellow believers we know. Because they're going to be struggling in the mission field that God has placed them in. We come together in fellowship, and when we leave, we should be leaving with a foundation knowing that our fellow believers are praying for us, that no matter what we're facing, there is somebody praying for us to get through it. Because while we know, and the Bible tells us, we know for a fact that God never abandons us, it helps to know that there's another person out there praying for me. And while it shouldn't make any sense to a believer, when we have the God Almighty, creator of all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at once, standing beside us, holding us up, never abandoning us, somehow, occasionally, we need a little more. And we need to know that there's just one other believer out there praying for us, supporting us, and caring for us. So we need to be praying for each other and remembering that each and every one of us is in a mission field. There'll be times when we're called to be evangelistic, and then there's going to be times when we're called to say those harsh truths. So remember that God is with you, that there's other believers who are with you, praying for you, that you can reach out to. And occasionally you might get that feeling, maybe I need to reach out to this person and just let them know, hey, I'm praying for you today. If you get that urge, in any way, shape, or form, listen to it. Because I guarantee you, the person that you have the urge to pray for needs to hear it in that moment. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Your words are truly humbling to us. They're truly amazing. When we sit down and listen to what you're really saying to us, we should be truly awestruck. The fact that you entrust your word to us for us to spread to others. It's such an amazing responsibility. The fact that in our lives, you've placed us in areas to be missionaries. Place us in areas where your light needs to shine. And that you've told us to spread your word everywhere. To live by. Lord, help give us the courage to spread your word when it needs spread and to stand up against the deceit when you need us to stand up. And through everything, Lord, help us to remember to pray for each other, because we were all put here to spread your word one way or another. And we thank you for the comfort of knowing that no matter what, you'll be with us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.